In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we saw the conversion of Paul and the conversion of the Gentiles when Peter went to Caesarea and spoke the word of God, and they started speaking in tongues and prophesying. The Gentiles, Cornelius's house. So Peter said, how could I hold back baptism? Because they've already received the Holy Spirit. How do they know that? Because they were speaking in tongues and prophesying. Let me tell you this, my friends. This is not for the early church alone. This is for us. This is for us. Yes, praying in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, and prophesying. This is not only for the early church and the early Gentile church. This is for us. But you see, people say, you know what, I want every gift, but I don't want tongues. I said the same thing. But the Lord showed me that it was very, very important that I would yield to the Spirit and start speaking in another language so that I would edify myself, because that's what the Scripture says. We're looking at the 11th chapter of Acts, verse 19. Now they were scattered. Now why were they scattered, the disciples? Because of persecution. They were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose around Stephen. And they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. Remember that salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And some of them, when they were come to Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Gentiles. First they go to the Jews, and then they go to the Gentiles. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will get converts. I remember once, Easter, I preached the word of God at Easter. You know, about Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And you know, I remember one person saying, I was changed as a result of it. I'm not saying the whole church was, but at least one person heard it. She heard it and she was changed. And she started to be hungry for the Lord. Preaching the gospel, you will receive converts. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, he is the son of encouragement, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God. Now, what's the grace of God? He sees them talking about Jesus. He hears them speaking in other languages. He sees them prophesying. He sees them healing the sick. Yes, they had seen the grace of God, and they were glad, and they exhorted them all with one purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. Yes, that is to the to little baby Christians, as well as Christians that have been saved for 100 years, cleave unto Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul. And when he had found Paul, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I won't tell you about Antioch. These were the Gentile believers. These were the people that Paul spent a whole year with, preaching the gospel, showing them how to grow in the Word of God, how to grow in the Spirit. I made an Antioch weekend in 1968. I would not be here if I did not make that weekend. It was in that weekend that God showed Himself to me. It was in that weekend where the gospel was proclaimed. See, I don't understand why people don't go to things like Antioch Retreat or Curcio or things like that, where the gospel is preached and where you have a time of commitment of giving yourself to Jesus. You say, well, I go to church. Well, that's wonderful to go to church. Is He your Lord and your Savior? Are you in relationship with Him? Are you being persecuted? Remember the persecution of Paul. He was shipwrecked several times. He was hit with whips by the Jews. He was everything. He was put in jail. He had persecution for the sake of Jesus. What about the persecution which you endure, which I endure? One thing the Lord promises us is persecution. We need to pray for the people in the Middle East, yes, Lord, because these people are experiencing persecution even unto death because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you these people in the Middle East, in Nigeria, and any other country where Christians are being put to death and where Christians are running away. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to have pity on these, your people. They are so strong, they give their life to you, and they will not change. Lord, give them grace. Give them grace like they've never had before, like the grace that you gave Stephen when he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one named Agabus, that signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout the world, great persecution, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Yes, Jerusalem was the place where they sent offerings so that the apostles that were there would be able to live. Jerusalem was the place where they sent offerings, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. This is very important. Chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to what? To vex certain of the church, to trouble certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He killed them. He killed them. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then these were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put Peter in prison and delivered him to four companies of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring Peter forth to the people. So we see persecution happening in Jerusalem. Peter is arrested. And that's something. Like, what do you do when Peter is arrested? He is the leader. What do you do as a community where Peter is arrested? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. So, what do you do when Peter is in prison? You can't get him out, but you can pray. Oh, yes, you can pray, but you're going to see something. You're going to see the church hasn't changed. Church hasn't changed. Listen, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shone in the prison. And the angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off him from his hands. Is this possible? Not only possible, it's what happened. Peter doesn't even believe it. He thinks he's dreaming. He thinks he's having a vision. And the angel said unto Peter, gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, cast your garments about you and follow me, get dressed. And he went out and followed him, and was not, didn't even know if it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second guards, they came unto an iron gate, and was led into the city, which opened to them on its own accord. It's like, you know, I remember the first time I saw a door open because you stepped on a rug. My Lord, this is what happened. This was 2,000 years ago that the gate opened, not by electricity, but by the power of God. The gate opened of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, in other words, he realized it really happened, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord hath sent his angel. Took him a little time, didn't it? Took him a little time. Now I know for sure that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark. There were many gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a young woman came to hearken. Her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Listen to this. And they said unto her, you are mad. Now, church hasn't changed. We pray, God does something, and we say it's by coincidence. You see, if you're going to pray for something and think it's a coincidence, don't bother to pray. They prayed for Peter while he was in jail. Their prayer allowed the angel to open up the gates and to take Peter out. Now, Rhoda goes to the door, and she says, Peter is there. And what do they say? You're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was Peter. Then said they, it is his angel. See, they're trying to get religious now. It's his angel. It's guardian angel. Their prayer opened the door for Peter to leave. Opened the big gate for Peter. That's what the church did. It says, Peter was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. But they don't believe it. They don't. It sounds like the church to me, that when we ask for something and it happens, you say, well, you know what? Maybe that would have happened anyway. No, I'm sorry. If you feel that way, don't pray. Don't pray at all, because God hears and answers prayer. That is the reality of it all. God hears and answers prayer. And don't be like the early church. The Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. They were astonished that his prayer was their prayer was answered. They were astonished. First, they thought Rhoda was mad. Now they're astonished. But he, Peter, beckoning unto them with the hand, told their peace and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Yes, and it was because of the prayer of the church. And he said, go forth to these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Yeah, how did he get out of here? You know, we were all guarding this prison. How did he get out of here? I tell you, the angel gave him a sleeping pill. The glory of God, you know, put them all out. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, where he lived. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came of one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace, because of their country was nourished by the king's country. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they were had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So because of the persecution, people are leaving Jerusalem and going to the Jews and the Gentiles and proclaiming the word of God. To those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. Even persecution. What would have happened if there wasn't persecution? They would have all died in Jerusalem. So they left Jerusalem and brought the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And people were converted, and people received the gift of the Spirit. And the grace of God was apparent because they were speaking in tongues and prophesying. This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. The grace of God was evident. Is the grace of God evident in you, and is it evident in me? I want us to ask the question. If it's not, we have to say, Jesus, I want your grace to be evident within me, that you are my Lord and my Savior, and you are my everything. I want your grace to be evident in me. You do not torture your people, Jesus. You just knock at the door of their hearts ever so softly, and you wait for us to just say, Lord, take it all. Take my whole life. My life is yours. Everything I have is yours. Just give me your peace. Give me your peace. Chapter 13. Now there in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manamen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them to do. So what's happening? They're ministering to the Lord. They're praising God. They're adoring God, maybe celebrating the Eucharist. They fasted. And what happened? The Holy Spirit started to speak. Separate from me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. The laying on of hands is so important. It communicates the presence of God. We have a healing service every single Saturday, and we lay hands upon people, and we see what God wants to do. The only thing we can do is lay hands. Jesus said, You shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. It is not my business to get them healed. It is my business to believe that they'll be healed and lay hands upon their head. That's my business. That's my business. And unfortunately, the church has not done that, and you know what sprung up? Reiki. Reiki. People, don't let people that are into Reiki touch you. Don't let people that are into Reiki touch you. It's another gospel. You know, they're doing it in hospitals. Nuns are doing it. Rather than laying hands in the name of Jesus, they're getting this power from Reiki. Yeah, I'll tell you, power. It's connected to you know who. Someone that doesn't want you to live a Christian life. Someone who wants you down and dirty for all eternity. Reiki is not of God. I can just say that it is not of God. And I'll say it again, Reiki is not of God. All these Eastern things are not from God. They are not from God. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, who, Barnabas and Saul, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God, where? Now I'm asking you where. In the synagogues to the Jews. And they had also John to be their minister. So the Jew first gets the gospel preached. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, and was with the deputy, the country Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on the sorcerer and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? It's today, fortune telling. People going to fortune tell, having their tea leaves read. Oh, yeah. You know, they say, well, I'm a Christian and I can do that. You cannot do that. I told you what the telephone number is of the one who reads your tea leaves and looks at your palms. 1-800-GO-TO-HELL. Oh, yes, you will be connected with the spirit that does not belong to God. A spirit, there is a spirit there. There is a power there. I know that. But that power and that spirit does not come from Jesus Christ. But you say they've got a statue of Mary and Jesus in the place. I don't care who they have in the place. It is not of God. And the woman will say, it is of God. No, it is not of God. If you have gone to fortune tellers, tea leaf readings, palm readings, you need to repent. Go to confession and repent. You said, but it happened 18 years. Go to confession and repent. Because that's something that God wants you to do, that you have no part in what's happened with these things. That our part is to lay hands upon the sick and to see them getting better. It is no part of being part of the New Age movement. I tell you, the New Age started in the garden when Jesus, when the Father gave them Adam and Eve, when they thought that they would become God if they ate of the fruit. That's the whole New Age. You become God. Yeah, you become God, all right. You become hitched to the person that lives in hell. That's who you become. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind. He's saying this to the sorcerer, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, that they had power. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. So we see that persecution was not something evil. It was something that God used to proclaim the gospel to the nations as well as to the Jews. I tell you that all those roads in Europe led to Rome, and the apostles and the disciples used those Roman roads to preach the gospel. I wonder how many people are so on fire that they preach the gospel. I wonder how many people that are so on fire that preach Jesus and tell people what Jesus has done for them. I don't know if there are many people that do it, because I can listen to many sermons and Jesus is never mentioned. I'm telling you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are going to glorify Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And we begin to see the miraculous. The miraculous becomes normal, even though it's never normal, because it's always God moving in powerful ways. We want people to see the action of the Holy Spirit in us. We want people to know that we have been with Jesus. Yes, like the early apostles, they realized that they had been with Jesus. We do not want to be like the people who prayed for Peter's release and it happened and they thought Rhoda was mad. We do not want to be like that. We want to believe that when we pray, we already have it. But before we pray, we need to forgive people. Oh yes, to forgive is divine. to forgive is divine. That's why we need to borrow forgiveness from Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our address is inseason.net. You can go to inseason.net and leave a gift on PayPal. I will be very grateful. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and I give you my blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.